This is Matt Rogers from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Los Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
You know when people try a new food and suddenly it's like, okay, hold on, I got a new favorite food.
That's the reaction a lot of people are having when they first try Kewpie Mayo.
Yeah, it's the one with the red cap and the little baby on the bottle. You've probably seen it at the grocery store.
And this mayo is different.
Mm-hmm. Most mayonnaise uses whole eggs. Kewpie only uses egg yolks, which gives it this rich umami flavor. It's smoother, deeper, almost buttery.
Once people try it, they start putting it on everything. Egg sandwiches, fries, burgers.
Chefs use it. Restaurants use it. People who really care about flavor use it.
Put it on just about anything.
Then you'll understand.
Kewpie, the original Japanese mayonnaise.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's up, sports mappers? Welcome to the fray on an F Yeah Friday on The Usual Suspects, coming to you live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. Stop on by and see us if you get a chance. We'll be here till 4. Blitz will be here till 7. As we always tell you, if you missed anything in the first 2 hours of the show, 975.com. Click on the show tab, catch up on what you missed. And of course, while you're there on the website, download the app. Therefore, you can take us anywhere, everywhere, and never miss a minute of the show. Barry's here. I'm here at Luke's. Nick back at studio, keeping us on the air. We appreciate everybody. And of course, our comedian of the week on an FEF Friday for F being funny is a guy that Barry gave you a little bit of a backstory on as well. It is a gentleman by the name of John Wynn.
Yeah.
And he will be.
Good dude, man.
We have one more clip from him coming up at 3:15. But you gave a little backstory before. But if you want to do a quick one here, by all means.
Yeah, man. He's a dude. We started around the same time. In fact, when we first started, John Wessling, who was used to be on this station, he had a class that we took. John took that class. We kind of got to know each other a little bit. But, man, he's so funny. He's a great writer, too. Like that bit he did about the karate belts and translating that into race. And
right.
That's creative, man. That's when you know you got a really good comedic writer, because that a lot of thought goes into that. So he's out in L.A. doing big things. He's writing for some shows. He's got an internship going. So he's good, man. He's one of those guys I fully expect. You may never hear about him nationally. As a superstar, but I think he'll be writing behind the scenes for many popular shows for years to come.
He's got a gift, and that's always good to have, especially in your given field. So there you go. So we'll have one more clip of him coming up at the 3:15 as we get into the final hour of the show. And, of course, we've been bouncing around a little bit. We haven't got yet much to the Texans, but that is a big game. You and I were talking about it before we got on the air today. That line keeps on a-changing. Everybody seems to be jumping on the Browns bandwagon that Baker Mayfield and company are going to come in to NRG. And if they don't end the streak for the Texans, they're definitely going to cover the spread. It started out at 6. It's at 5. It was at 5.5 the last time I saw it.
Actually, it opened at 4.5.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw it at 6. Now it's down to 5.5. I know that in looking on Twitter and looking at all the from the NFL Network to all the different given experts giving you their hot picks of the week, Everybody jumping on the Browns and whatever the price point spread is.
Yeah, the Vegas Insider consensus line had them open at 4.5. Other places had them opening at 6, 6.5, 5.5. So it's bounced around a bit. For me, on this stupid little spreadsheet that I use, one of the things that I had is at 5.5, I have it as a strong play for the Texans. I give the 5.5 points. I think the Texans. But, man, when you change it to 6, it makes it a lot more difficult from a spread perspective to take the Texans and give the 6 points, even though they're at home and even though I think they win this game. And I'm a bit concerned as a Texans fan. I think this is a trap game for this team because I think they're looking past the Browns. They're looking at what's coming up on the schedule and the division and what they got to take care of. And the Browns are an easy team to overlook. They've won 2 in a row, and I think Bill O'Brien is saying the right things about, well, that's a good football team. They're good up front. They have a good offensive line, and all of that is true, but you just worry if the players are buying into that and not overlooking this team.
Yeah, I mean, look, when we were looking at this schedule from day one, and as you continue to look at the different points in the season where we've looked at the schedule, the late stretch of 5 to 6 games, we were looking at the Eagles, we were looking at the Jags, we were looking at tough games down the stretch. Now, in my mind, and you and I were talking about this the other day, but it looks like it's going to be this game this weekend and the Colts, because you talk about teams playing better. You talk about a team that went from Carlos Hyde at running back, and all of a sudden Nick Chubb has emerged. And Nick Chubb, in the last couple weeks, good yardage. And we talked about when an offense has balance, when they have a running game. And Baker Mayfield seems to be getting more and more comfortable. Got a little bit of an axe to grind now because of all of the back and forth with the Hugh Jackson story and then with Damian Woody. So he looks like, not that he needed any more motivation. They want to end this streak. They want to come in and prove that there's an outside chance, but they're still in the playoff picture as well, and this would be a huge win for them. So I think whether the players are looking past it or not, this is a game that they've got to pay attention to. This is a talented Cleveland Browns team coming into town.
Yeah, I saw some stats when I was looking up this game. One, Baker Mayfield, and I happened to cross this. It wasn't something that they posted, but looking at his stats over the season, 3-1 this year when he doesn't throw a pick. So it tells you a lot about this team, in that if he can take care of the ball and not be careless with it and turn it over, the Browns have a good opportunity to win a football game, because he's good. Like you said, Nick Chubb, he's gotten it going over the last 4 games or so. And the other thing is, Baker Mayfield, under pressure, he is still throwing a touchdown 8.1% of his pass attempts when under pressure. That's the highest for a rookie in 13 years. So he's cool in the pocket. You can't rattle this kid. And he brings a dynamic to this team that's been missing for years in the Browns. So with him and with Chubb and that offensive line, they're able to block and they're able to get after him up front. That's going to be a fun matchup. This Cleveland Browns front five and the Texans front seven, it's going to make it interesting. I still think the Texans win, but I think it's more of a dogfight than some people want to believe.
And I can't say unequivocally that the Texans win this game, because of the fact that you mentioned all the things about Mayfield and not turning the ball over, and that leads you to believe, well, he's a game manager. And we've always talked about game managers can get it done. But he can manage a game when he doesn't turn the ball over, but he still has the ability to make the big play too, because his scramble ability and his elusiveness in the pocket goes a long way. He may not be able to outrun a cop on surveillance video, but boy, when he is getting out of the pocket, he can extend some plays. And the one thing we're not talking about with the Browns is defensively. Everybody was critical of their draft, but it looks like Ward was the right pick as a defensive back. He is fantastic. And everybody knows that Miles Garrett has come into his own as a pass rusher. But this team is on the rise now. And I know that you and Patrick had the bet, and I don't really hold a lot of stock in the fact that the Browns are going to make the playoffs. But the fact that they are where they are shows you that they're doing the right things personnel-wise so that they can be relevant in the future. And the Texans have to be aware of that.
I think I disagree a little bit in that the Browns do have some players. They do have individual stars on that defense, or stars in the making, especially with Garrett up front. I think he's their best player by far. But defensively, 30th in the league in pass defense, 28th in the league in run defense. And you talk about this managing games. Deshaun Watson has done just that really well over this 8-game win streak for the Texans. He's another guy that, as long as he doesn't throw it into coverage, as long as he's not being careless with the ball, which he's prone to do, hand the ball to Lamar Miller and try to get it to DeAndre Hopkins. I think this is an offense that stays within itself, and the team is playing, and I keep saying this because I hate it, but it's true, complimentary football. Both sides of the ball, special teams is playing well. I think for me, though, I expect another big game, as Nick predicted last week, from Demaryius Thomas and Kiki QT if he's healthy, because you've got to double team DeAndre Hopkins. There's no doubt about that. Denzel Ward's going to have to – he's good, but he's going to need help. Demaryius Randle is questionable with a hamstring. So I look for them to bracket DeAndre Hopkins a lot in this game, especially inside the 20. And so who's going to cover Demaryius Thomas? Who's going to cover Kiki QT? So it presents some problems for these teams. And this team, outside of Ward and Randle, not a great secondary.
They're young, like you said. Yeah. You know, so, again, they're still trying to prove themselves. But at the same time, from a Texans perspective, if they're able to do and execute the game plan that they executed a week ago, and their running game is prevalent and at least relevant, and I'm not expecting another 97-yard run for a touchdown, but at the same time, if you can get Miller to give you, you know, close to 100 yards, or the combination of Miller and Blue to get you in that 150 range, and you can provide some balance. The other thing that when I talk about – you're managing the game if you're Deshaun Watson and you're Baker Mayfield. But the elusiveness means you don't have to make that throw into double coverage and execute a bomb or a big play that way, but just extending plays in order to get first downs with their legs, being able to run and get out to the edge and extend a play that otherwise would be a sack when you're talking about a subpar offensive line or a young offensive line trying to establish themselves in Cleveland. Those are things where maybe you go tit for tat and you say, hey, whichever quarterback is able to extend plays more without turning the ball over and whichever offense is able to get the most balanced attack to be able to keep the defense guessing, they might have a huge advantage in this game because I see a lot of mirror images in these two teams, except for the fact that you got the long winning streak for the Texans and the fact, like you said, Cleveland doesn't have – they have weapons, but I don't think anything of the caliber of a Hopkins.
No, and just younger. Yeah, they definitely don't have
– Landry's a hell of a receiver.
Yeah, but they don't have they're just a younger – I mean, I'm not comparing everybody, but they have weapons. They just need to develop and get better and – I don't know. I think that this team, at 5.5 from a spread perspective, I look for the game to be around five points or so, 6 points. But that's probably about it. If this line moves anymore, if it gets to 6.5, 7, I would take the Browns and the points at that point. I think it's you're right. These two teams are a lot closer than maybe some people suspect.
Yeah, that's what I see, and that's why depending on what you get the spread at, I think that's why people are jumping on that 6. If you can get 6 in the Browns. That might be a pretty good pick because I think it's going to be a close game.
And you know where you would bet if you could get the 6?
I know you do.
My bookie, baby. That is where you go and you put your money down. And then when you win these bets, because Joel and I are geniuses and telling you to take those points. Okay, maybe not all the time. But when you win, they're going to pay you. That's the cool thing about my bookie, man. You sign up. You get started. And by the way, when you sign up, use promo code radio. Don't be a dummy. Use promo code radio. They will match your first deposit up to 50%. So you put in $500, they'll put in $250 for you. Absolutely free money just by using promo code radio right there at mybookie.ag. They're safe. They're reliable. They've been around forever. You can get action on just about everything. If you can think of it, I'm sure MyBookie has a way for you to bet on it. And an easy way to get to it. You can use your smartphone, go to mybookie.ag. You can use your web browser on your computer, go to mybookie.ag. However you get there, go to mybookie.ag, get started, have some fun, and a ton of stuff going on over there. They got player perks, in-game live betting. You can bet fantasy over-unders on individual players each week. So much to do, and when you win, they pay you. How cool is that? MyBookie.ag is the website. Promo code radio to get a 50% match on your first deposit. If you're having trouble finding it, just Google MyBookie, MyBookie. You win, you play, you get paid at MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
I travel sometimes doing comedy. I went to New Orleans and I saw one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. I saw a cop on a horse. You guys know we still have cops on horses. We're funding it with our tax dollars, these useless horses, so they could take a dump on the street. We don't have any train robberies going on. I don't know why we need these cops on horses. How do you even get arrested by a cop on a horse? He's got to help you up on the horse. I'm riding behind this cop, my arms around his waist. My hair's blown in the wind. Yeah, getting arrested wasn't part of the plan. Neither was falling in love with this cop.
Hey, there you go. On an FYI Friday on The Usual Suspects, that's John Wynn. Barry gave you the backstory as John is a funny dude, both as a comedian and also as a writer. He's got a bright future ahead of him. And you have some catching up to do because you said you guys came in about the same
time.
Yeah,
he's way past me by. He's already in L.A. and working for NBC, so yeah, I'm just a scrub right now compared
to
John Wynn.
You'll get there.
Maybe like 10, 15 more years, I hope.
We are at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, so we've got a lot going on here. We want to make sure that we wish a happy birthday to Sadie, who's 41. As she was here celebrating your birthday party, there's a lovely sweater party going on right now.
That is over there?
I'm going to say it's a lovely sweater party, a very designer sweater party, because I know some people get offended if you call it anything else, but a big sweater party going on.
Let's be real. Those are ugly sweaters.
See, I didn't say that.
Every one of them is an ugly sweater. There's about 25 ladies, and every one of them is now offended. Like, well, I told the girls it was an ugly sweater, but I wore my cute one. No. I'm sorry if that was what you thought. You didn't wear your cute sweater.
Lots of lights and ornaments on the sweaters as everybody's having a festive time here pre-holiday. Luke's Ice House, Beaumont. Stop by, see the ladies, see the sweaters, see us, see the Blitz. They'll be here till 7, Fred and AJ. AJ already in the house. So we appreciate you guys coming along for the ride on a Friday. Nick back at the studio keeping us on the air as well.
Hey, Nick, do we still have Anthony and Fort Worth Jay on the phone?
We do.
Are they gone? All right. Do you want to get those? They both want to talk. Well, one wants to talk college football. One wants to talk Saints Cowboys. I'll let you guess who wants to talk Saints Cowboys.
Gee. Fort Worth Jay?
Yeah. Fort Worth Jay, what's up, man?
Hey, man. I catch that UT game last week. Ah, I thought you know me. You don't know me like that, man. First of all, I just want to say this. I could be boisterous and brag and all that, but I just tweeted to y'all. I called this yesterday. Because I was all week, all I've been hearing is how we didn't stand a chance. And I was like, I don't know. They might come out and punch these boys in the mouth. And they did. And they won on my dad's birthday. So today I'm not going to be over about it or extra. I just want to ask all the Houston Saints fans of this week if their jaws hurt. Because all on social media this week, they've had Big D in their mouth. Y'all have a good one.
All right, man. Appreciate the call. I can tell you, honestly, we kind of heard it. Nick, I'll be honest with you. We probably can't take Anthony's call because Joel and I can't hear us.
Sent you that in the chat. It's probably a good idea. There's a lot of crowd noise right now.
Anthony, sorry, bud. We are going to talk college football. In fact, we had a text come in.
Anthony can text us, by the way. Text us to 713, the same number, and we'll get to what Anthony wanted to talk about.
Absolutely. But somebody texted the show and said, what's the over-under currently for the Texas-Oklahoma game? Would it surprise you if I said 77.5?
I thought it was in the
70s. And how would it surprise you?
I thought it was in the 70s.
Okay.
I did. I don't know if I would think it would be upper 70s, but I think you're going to have a lot of people jumping on that game simply because of the fact that, look, it's a revenge game for Oklahoma. And again, the knock on the Big 12 is the fact that they play all offense, no defense, but they run the points up at a very high level. And why wouldn't you expect that then from the two best teams in the conference championship game?
What did these teams put up the last time they played? I want to say it was almost in the 90s if it wasn't in the 90s.
That's the Texas upset game.
Yeah, I got to go back and look it up. But I'm telling you right now, I don't care if this line was 80.5. Give me the over. I just think that the Oklahoma defense is so bad. It is literally one of the worst defenses in the country. And they can't stop anybody. They can outscore anybody. That's just the thing. They are literally on opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes to offense and defense. They're the number one scoring college team in the nation, 50 points a game. But they'll give up a ton. So I fear that this is one of those games. And I fear this for both sides because I don't have a rooting interest in it. But this is one of those things where both of these teams – There's two keys to this game. I think it's pretty obvious. Turnovers are going to matter more than they normally do because I think every team's going to score every time. Literally, this could be one of those where just every time you got the ball, you score. There's no punts in this game. So turnovers are important. And who has the ball last? I mean, literally, whoever has the ball with a minute and a half left is probably the team that's going to win this game.
See, I was going to say, and the last time they played, it was 48-45.
So there you go. 93 points?
So, yeah, and what I was going to say is, before you actually used it, I was going to say, a lot of people always say in a game like this, it's whoever has the ball last. And I'll say, and whoever maybe gets the stop first. I mean, whoever's defense can actually step up and finally get a stop might be the defense that leads their team to victory because you know that both offenses are going to score points by the bunch. This is a lot like what everybody said when you were talking about the over. I was thinking about the Rams-Chiefs game. Because everybody thought, oh, my God, that over-under, I mean, that's a high over. And then they got to the 100 mark. So
399 yards rushing combined between the two teams. 634 yards passing. Obviously, the 93 points. It's just insane what these offenses can do and what these defenses can't do. And I tell you what, if you're breaking it down, defensively edge Texas, offensively edge OU. This could be one of those things where special teams has a say in what goes on. Not because there's punts, but there's going to be a lot of kickoffs. And if you can break one of those as well, that's advantage whichever team can get the edge on something like special teams.
Take it to that next level, too, field goal kicking. Because, you know, at some point when you're stopped deep in someone's territory and you need 3 points, you get some points out of it, whoever's kicker makes more kicks. It could come down to that as well. So you're right. Special teams is going to play into it as well. And even punting from that standpoint of trying to pin somebody back. You love the fact it's a revenge game. You love the fact that Oklahoma wants to get back at Texas. And then the other factor that you got to factor in is with Kyler Murray. He's the outside dark horse for the Heisman. But you know that he's going to want to make a statement. He's going to want to, you know, run up the score, do a lot of things. I don't think he has any chance of catching Tua. But,
no. But I tell you this, too. Don't sleep on the fact that OU needs to blow the doors off of Texas to have a shot at making a playoff berth.
I was just going to say.
And Ohio State the same
that's
way.
That's where I was going.
They both got to have a good game. So, I mean, there's a little extra incentive for OU in this game.
No doubt about it. All right, we got a half hour to go in the big show. We still got picks to do, college, pro, and otherwise. If you want to join the show, you can text us, 713-780-3776. Otherwise, hit us up on Twitter. It's The Usual Suspects. It is SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to the final half hour of The Usual Suspects on an FEF Friday right here on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Barry and I coming to you live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. You heard the man. If you are in the area, stop on by. Obviously, the great outdoor deck, indoor as well. Lots of TVs, beer specials, $12 Miller Lite buckets, $15 Coors Light buckets. The atmosphere, unbelievable. Knicks Fan Club, also known as the Steelers Fan Club, is already here. And they have been here forever. And the alcohol is flowing. The beautiful Christmas party sweater is also going on alongside of us. And we have lots to get to, Barry. We said that because of the fact that it's heating up in football. The picks are more important because the games are more important. So we figured we'll start with college football in this segment and get to the pro football in the final segment so that we can get a little bit more time and energy devoted to each of these big games. So without further ado, Nicholas, why don't you get us prepped up and ready to go, strike up the band, and let's get some college football.
Let's do it. Let's get right to it. And we'll start with Utah versus Washington, number 17 Utah against number 11 ranked Washington. Washington is favored -5.5 at home.
Yeah, Barry, I'll take this one first. I think these are two teams that, especially when you're looking at what they did throughout the year, they were great at making sure that if you bet on them, you did well. Both teams had their spurts, did a lot of good things throughout the year, had some slip-ups. Washington was a team that was rumored early in the year to be a contender for the playoffs. Not going to happen that way, but I think Washington has started to put together late. I think that they'll cover the 5.5, and I think that I'll take the Huskies.
Yeah, it's going to be a boring game. Don't expect a lot of these are both defensive-minded teams. I think Utah wants to look to control the ball. They can run the ball well. They can get after on defense, as can Washington. I think at the end of the day, Utah covers, but I think Washington wins.
Okay.
I'm going to agree with you. I think Washington covers the -5.5 with Utah on the road. We go on to Texas. They're up against OU. I feel like Tom Herman has some tricks up his sleeve, but I'm still going to go with OU in this game. Who do you got?
I'll tell you what, this spread is tricky. If it was If it was 6.5, 7, I might feel differently about this game. But I really believe that from a motivational standpoint, I think revenge is going to be huge for Oklahoma. Like I said, I think Kyler Murray is going to make a statement as a last push to try and get some votes for the Heisman. And I think that Oklahoma is going to win the game. Now, do I think that they're going to cover 7.5? That's the bigger question. Texas has continued to improve week to week. But I really, my gut says I'm going with Oklahoma, even if it is 7.5. I'll take it.
So it looks like we've got OU. Wins.
I'm going to say Texas covers, OU wins.
Okay.
I'm going with OU as well. All right, we move on to what I'm looking forward to the most, the Bama Crimson Tide on the road against Georgia, minus 13 for Alabama. I'm just not picking against this Alabama team, man. I just can't do it. So I'm picking Alabama, and I say they cover the 13 points.
Bama should dominate this game up front, especially. Bulldogs cannot match this team physically up front, and I know that the Bulldogs are a big team. Also, by the way, Texas fans, keep an eye on offensive tackle Jonah Williams of Bama. That's a guy that might fall to beginning of the second round, but probably or could fall late in the first round. He's a good offensive tackle and a guy that the Texans might be eyeing in the draft. But statistically, Bama is better in every facet of the game except for running the football. At the end of the day, I think Bama wins, Georgia covers.
I was going to say, the one way that Georgia can stay in this game and cover the spread is with ball control, because of the fact that it's not the two-headed monster that they had with Sony Michel and Nick Chubb a year ago. But at the same time, they've got two very high-quality running backs. They like to pound the ball. If they are successful running the football and they can keep it out of Tua's hands on a consistent basis, I think they can cover the spread. I don't think they can beat Alabama, and I know everybody wants to see that because they want to see the whole playoff thing be thrown up in the air. I'll take Alabama, and I'll give the points.
All right, real quick, Nick, before we move on, I want to get both of your opinions. If this is close, are they both in? If this is a one-point game, last-second play, Bama wins on the final play of the game.
I still don't think Georgia makes it to the playoff. I still do.
I'm with you.
I'm going to answer it the way you love, because I'm not just going to answer it straight out, but I'm going to say this. It all depends on the kind of performances that Oklahoma and Ohio State put up on the board. If they put massive games on the board of 50, 60-point blowouts, you got a chance.
Fair enough.
But otherwise, I think there is a chance that Georgia could squeak in.
All right, we move on to two ranked teams. Number 25, Fresno State. They go up against number 22, Boise State. Boise State home team favorite at home by 2.5, minus 2.5 for Boise State.
I think these teams are pretty evenly matched. Fresno can get after it on defense. They've been dominant all year defensively. I think Boise State actually has to, even though they're at home, I think they have to play a perfect game to win this. I'm going to say Fresno actually covers and wins outright.
It's an interesting game simply because now that we have these weekly betting things that we have to do and we watch the spreads a lot more, I watch teams like this a lot more. Both have had glimpses. Both have had areas of the season where you thought, hey, they might sneak in and get a good bowl game, but then they've also had clunkers where they've fallen off. I think that Boise State is going to do enough on both sides of the football. They're going to be a little more innovative on offense. I think Boise State can win the game by a field goal, so I pick them to cover and to win.
Okay. Nick, what you got?
I think they'll pull off the upset as well, so I'm going to go with you.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Fresno State. All right, we move on to Clemson versus Pittsburgh. Clemson number 2, minus 27.5 for Clemson on the road.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, a very one-dimensional team, and that's running the ball. Problem is Clemson is – In all of these playoffs and all of these championships games, nobody is better against the run than Clemson. This, to me, is the biggest blowout of the day. I don't think this game is even close. Pittsburgh can't match Clemson in any facet of the game. I think Clemson is number 2 in the nation for a reason. I don't even see this to be close. Clemson covers and wins.
Here's the one thing about Clemson. They just have to win, and they're in. They don't have to look sexy. They don't have to do the things that we were talking about with Ohio State and Oklahoma. I think they're going to win the game. I agree with you there. That's just a lot of points to me. And I know Pittsburgh isn't by any means on the same level as Clemson, but that's just so many points to me. I'm gonna say Pittsburgh covers the spread, even though Clemson wins the game.
Okay.
I agree with Barry. I think Clemson will cover the spread. I think it's going to be an absolute blowout. All right, two more games. You ready? Yep. Northwestern versus Ohio State, minus 14.5 for the Buckeyes at home.
Man, Northwestern, for all they can do defensively, just bad at putting up points on the board, and which is surprising when you consider of all the teams in these championship games, they're the lowest scoring. I mean, I don't know that that surprises a lot of Big Ten watchers, but I just don't feel like that they can hang with this Ohio State passing attack. I think Ohio State covers. I think they win outright. I think this is the second biggest blowout of the weekend.
I'm with you because of the fact that all the things we've talked about, they have to make a statement in order to be considered for that fourth spot, regardless of what happens everywhere around them. And so, therefore, you take a team that is awful on offense in Northwestern and a team that excels on offense but can't play defense in Ohio State. I think Ohio State is going to run up the score. They're going to make a statement. They're going to try and make sure that the committee is watching, and they cover the spread and they win the game.
And Dwayne Haskins can sling it.
He can.
Absolutely. And I'm picking Ohio State as well to cover the 14.5 point spread. All right, last game, Memphis at Central Florida. Remember, no, they're without their quarterback, but they're still favored -3.
McKenzie Milton, terrible knee injury. I think with him in this game, this isn't even close. But
look at the track record.
Memphis is good. Memphis is good. And I think that the difference is, in as far as the spread goes, I think that McKenzie Milton is the difference. When you look at what Daryl Mack did when he came in to replace Milton in the last game, he managed the game well. He wasn't sexy. It wasn't what you were used to seeing with this UCF offense. They came in being the eighth highest scoring football team in the country. And Milton had a lot to do with that. So because of the injury and because of the fact that Memphis can run the ball and run the ball better than just about anybody in the country, I'm taking Memphis to cover and win outright tonight.
There's no doubt about it. The thing is, look at the track record the last two times these two teams have played. Memphis has played UCF better than just about anybody when you talk about their winning streak and a team that had a chance to beat them, and that was with Milton at quarterback. Memphis plays UCF well. They match up well with them, and if you're a U of H fan and you watched what Memphis did when they finally put the pedal to the metal against the Cougars, they can run the football, but they can score points.
But, God, that U of H defense is just
I get that, but what I'm saying, it's all a combination of things. So you've got a quarterback out for UCF. You've got a team that's matched up and played well against UCF. So they'd have come in. They're not intimidated. They believe they can win the game. I'll take Memphis to cover the points, and I think they're going to win the game.
Yeah, ball control, we talk about it a lot. But when a team that can run the ball like Memphis, even though they'll run like explosive run plays, not just 3 yards in a cloud of dust type stuff, they'll rattle off 20, 30 yards in one play. And I think this is Darrell Henderson's opportunity to make his case for the Heisman, much like you talked about Kyler Murray. So keep an eye out for that as well.
Yeah,
who you got, Nick?
Central Florida was my pick last week before I saw that injury, and I was really worried. But after that injury, I felt like the backup quarterback did just enough. And so I'm picking Central Florida to win and cover the 3 points.
One more key stat for you when we talk about this game and what these teams can do that has nothing to do with the quarterback play for UCF. UCF, 109 in the nation at stopping the run. Memphis, 5th in the nation at rushing the ball. That's why, I mean, you have to wonder, like you said, to your point, even with a healthy Milton, this could still be a Memphis team that wins this game when all things equal and everybody's
and
playing.
And to my point on intangibles, it's teams that play Alabama that come in and they're already beaten. You can see it on their face when they take the field. And again, to a lesser degree, it's not the highest level of football, but when you look at teams that play UCF in their conference, they walk in and they're like, they're already defeated.
Yeah.
Memphis isn't that team because Memphis has hung with them and played with them. I think that's a factor as well. So I think that's where Memphis can make a statement. I think they can beat UCF. All right, we got one segment to go. We'll get pro picks up next, and then we'll wrap it up, put a bow on it, turn it over to the Blitz. Don't go anywhere. It's an FEF Friday on the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
It is chaotic here at Luke's Ice House because it is just a frenzy of happy people enjoying the start to their weekend with happy hour prices, fantastic weather on the deck, and of course lots to look forward to over the course of the weekend with college football, pro football, and ugly sweater parties. So we covered college football last segment. We'll get into some pro football right now with Nicholas as we break down our picks that I'm sure I'm just absolutely killing it in as we get down to brass tacks when it comes to NFL on the schedule this weekend, Nick.
That's right, and we'll actually start with a game that the Steelers fan club that we have over there at Luke's might be interested in, the Chargers versus the Steelers. The Steelers are at home, and they're favored by 3.5 points. Who's your pick?
Look, Steelers at home, national TV, no Melvin Gordon, and the fact that, you know, Pittsburgh is still in it and trying to fight for some of the top seeds possible in the AFC, whether they have a chance at that or not. They're also not going to be real happy with the outcome of that Denver game. They had their chances. They let them slip by. I just see Pittsburgh making a statement on national TV. I see the more weapons at the skill position going to the Steelers, and for that very reason and for them being at home, weather will play a factor as well, but I'll take the Steelers to cover the 3.5.
Chargers defense is stingy. Phillip Rivers is playing out of his mind. I have this almost as a pick'em game, but if you're going to give me the Chargers and some points and it's a pick'em, I'll take the 3.5.
Yeah, I was a little concerned. Yeah, I was a little concerned with some of the comments made by Big Ben and Antonio Brown. They seem to be okay with it, and they're looking past it. They say this is what we do to motivate each other. I think that's what's going to hurt them down the line in the playoffs, but in this game, I don't think it will. So I'm picking the Steelers to win and cover the 3.5.
Or as a backup for Melvin Gordon.
I know.
All right, we move on to Minnesota and New England. New England is at home, -5 for the Patriots.
Yeah, you know what? I have the Patriots and given the 5, but it's so crazy because if Minnesota comes out and plays defense like they're capable of playing, then I think that they can, you know, you can get after Tom Brady. That's the way you rattle Tom Brady. Everybody knows that. If you can put pressure on Tom Brady, he doesn't like to get hit. Minnesota should have the pass rush to be able to do that. They're a decent defensive football team, but up and down, this team has been, no pun intended, suspect at times. This team has not played up to what we thought they would be at the beginning of the year. If you're given 5 points, I think New England can fade that at home. Down the stretch, they come for the Patriots. You've mentioned it several times, Joel, that this is a December football team. They don't worry about everything else until December gets here. This is when they turn it on. So give me the Patriots, and I'll give the 5 points.
I was going to say, if this was a September game, I'd give the advantage to the Vikings. But you know what? You saw it last weekend in the Sunday night football game. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers were able to put up points against the Vikings defense. At the start of the year, Barry and I both thought the Vikings might end up in the Super Bowl. Their defense looked to be the best in the entire league, much like the Jacksonville Jaguars. And those two defenses have fallen off the planet. I think that the ability for the New England Patriots to score points. And here's the weird thing. How about if I throw weather into the equation with the Vikings? It used to be the Vikings played in the north. They were ready for it. But because they're an indoor team now, it's a different story for the Vikings offensively in playing in any kind of weather conditions. And if you watch, I don't want to be a weatherman here, but if you check the Doppler, there's going to be some weather going, some precipitation. Possibly some snow and some cold weather heading to
back
England
to you
as well.
In the studio, Nick.
So therefore, I'm going to take the Patriots at home in the late season to give the points and win the game.
I wish I could remember the name of the weatherman on.
I got it for you. Who do you want? Jim Cantore?
No,
from the Weather Channel.
Ron Burgundy's Anchorman. I wish I could remember the name. I would have called you him.
There you go.
I blew the joke. Go ahead, Nick. My bad.
All right, Minnesota versus New England. I like the Patriots -5 at home. We'll move on to Chicago and the New York Giants. The New York Giants are at home, but they are not favored. +3.5 for the New York Giants.
Ooh, so it's 3.5. I had it at 4 earlier.
Yeah, it's 3.5.
The fact that, one, Mitch Trubisky not playing for the Bears again. Two, as bad as the Giants are and have been, they've been playing better of late, and they still aren't out for the division. So therefore, and they're at home. So therefore, there is something to play for still if you are the New York Football Giants. I just know that Bears defense is fantastic. Their front line and their front seven, ridiculous. And the Giants have shown a propensity to stay away from OBJ and not give him as many, as you've heard him say, he's not getting as many opportunities where they're going to try and pound Saquon Barkley. A lot more difficult to do against a defense that's capable of doing what the Bears are capable of doing. I think the Bears find a way to win an ugly football game.
I think Trubisky might be worth 3 points to this football team. If he were playing this, I think this game's about a 27-20 football game. Without him, I think it's 24-20, which means if I'm having to give up 3.5 to the Giants with some of the struggles that they've had, the fact that this Bears defense is really good. And the fact that Chase Daniel has played well,
yes, he has.
In his absence. And again, we talked earlier, second longest winning streak in the NFL belongs to the Bears and the Colts at 5. So I don't mind fading the 3.5. Any more than that, I'd be scared. But if it's 3.5, give me the Bears and I'll give the points.
Yeah, I'll take the Giants to win outright. I mean, if you look at it, it's going to be considered an upset. But if they do win, I wouldn't consider it a massive upset when you look at it. But I like the Giants, and I like the Giants to win outright. I like 3.5. I don't think that's a massive spread. So we move on to L.A., the Rams. They play against the Lions, +10 for Detroit at home.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's some weird stuff going on in Detroit. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but Matt Patricia has made them practice outside in the elements in the freezing cold, and they don't play an outside game in a month.
Yeah.
And if you say that you put the Rams, that offense, their ability to score both with Gurley and through the air, and you put them indoors in Detroit, the Lions without now for a couple of weeks, their best receiver as they let go of Golden Tate, their running game kind of a mess as well with injuries. I just think 10 and the Rams indoors is not enough. I think the Rams cover the 10 easily and win the game.
Yeah, it's funny. When you look at the Rams, they're the second highest plus-minus differential in the NFL at 9-8, which means they can score and they can stop you. On the flip side, Lions are a -4.5. So they struggle a little bit to put the ball into the end zone. And they struggle at times. And they're giving up 26 points a game, which isn't the worst, but it's not great. And this Rams offense can put it on you in a hurry. My spreadsheet tells me to take Detroit and the 10 points, but my eye test and my heart and my brain tells me that's not enough, so give me the Rams and I'll give the 10 points.
Yeah, I think the Rams can score and they can score a lot. The 10-point spread doesn't scare me, so I like the Rams -10. All right, final game, Cleveland versus the Texans at home Sunday game, noon, -5.5 points for the Houston Texans.
But we talked about this in depth to start off hour number 3. It's going to be an interesting game. It's going to be one of the better games this weekend to watch. You got a team that's making a late push in Cleveland. We all know what the streak is for the Texans and how hot they've been. They're playing better of late. That point spread to me is dangerous. I think this is a close game. I really do. And because of it, I'm going to take Cleveland getting the 5.5 points because I see this being a field goal type game. We talked about the fact that we want to see which team establishes the run. Can the defense of the Texans neutralize what's been working well for the Browns? And then, as you pointed out, from a Browns perspective defensively, their secondary is young, and can Demaryius Thomas and Nuke Hopkins take advantage of that? I think it's a closer game than most people do. I think the Browns cover the points, although I think the Texans could find a way to win.
I feel like the Texans, we continue to not disrespect them, but underestimate them week after week after week, and they're not playing the most difficult schedule in the world. I like the 5.5. I feel like I don't have a problem if I'm the Texans giving the 5.5. When it gets to 6, it concerns me. If it were 6.5, I would take the Browns and the points. But at 5.5, I think that the Texans can beat them by a couple of field goals. So I'll take the Texans and give the 5.5.
I like the Texans, and I like the Texans to cover the 5.5 points as well. So,
word.
Well, there you have it, fellas. Another good week in the books as the Usual Suspects wraps up shop as we close the door on Luke's Ice House for us, and thank all the people of Beaumont for coming out and having a good time with us. And again, we remind you, if you missed any portions of the show, go to ESPN975.com, click on the show tab, check out the hours of the show that you missed, and the weeks over the course of the week, the hours of the show that you missed, because we love the people that like to report back to us and tell us that, hey, they missed some of the show, they went back, they listened, they had a good time. Hopefully that's what you guys did too. Fred and AJ are in the house. The Blitz is going to take you next. Jong is back at studio, and they'll take you all the way till 7 o'clock. So if you're in the Beaumont area and you're looking for something to do in a great happy hour spot, stop by here to Luke's Ice House. They'll take good care of you. $12 Miller Lite buckets, $15 Coors Light buckets. You boys have a good weekend. Nick, take care of shop back home, and everybody drive home real safe. For Nick, for Barry, I'm Joel. You guys have yourself a great weekend.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.